Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It's perfect! I won't have to change this at all!
Sweet!
X marks the spot.
Perfect, pure happiness.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
It was a stone groove, my man.
Well, that hit the spot.
I'm Jim Byrne. Well, have you ever wondered what the secret is to living something other than just the common life? Well, my good friend Max Licato has a theory about this. He says that each of us has a sweet spot in our lives, and that is the place God wants us to live. Well, if you've ever played softball or baseball or golf, well, you're familiar with that term. When you hit the ball with the sweet spot of the bat or the golf club, well, you've hit it just right. And that's what Max Licato and I are going to talk about during the next half hour, finding that sweet spot in your daily existence so that you can discover the cure for the common life. Stay with us here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Byrnes. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, we're going to hear part one of Jim's conversation with Max Licato. If you feel like your life is rather ordinary right now, there are parts of life that are just kind of ordinary and we can't really do much to spice them up. But God didn't call us to a common life. I mean, we are citizens of heaven and residents of earth. And so during the next half hour, we're going to take a look at finding a cure for the common life. And we are able to present this program because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Thanks so much for being a part of the ministry team here at Homeward. If you can give a gift online to help support the ministry, we would love to hear from you. You can do so through our secure website at homeward.com. Go there if you're not there already. And now, here's part one of today's program with Dr. Jim Byrnes.
Well, it is indeed a treat for me. Welcome to Homeward, because we have Max Licato with us today. Living in your sweet spot is what we're talking about. I have told you before on the radio program, and I've told loads of people that my favorite author is Max Licato. In fact, I have told Max this before, that I have actually borrowed some of his illustrations as a person who would sometimes speak in the church. And I try to always give you credit, Max. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. You know, nothing's original. Right. Only God is the creator, so use them all you want.
Well, I say the essence of creativity is the ability to copy, as long as we don't plagiarize. And in fact, I think it was last Christmas Eve, people kept coming up saying, this was a wonderful message that you gave, Jim. Thank you so much. And I said, well, actually, thank Max Licato. And you can pick up his book if you'd like to get more information, because I was just using some material out of your book, and I appreciate it so much. I'm holding a new book. It's called Cure for the Common Life, Living in Your Sweet Spot. I loved it once again as I read it. You can see there's underline and, you know, already. And it really ministered to me, and I realized, wait, I'm having a conversation with you, and I've got to talk to you about this. You obviously are known as one of America's pastors in a big way. Your books have sold over 39 million copies worldwide. You serve as the pulpit minister of Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, a great church. And not only do you live with what you call finding a one in a million wife, but you have three unbelievable daughters. And again, it's so great to have you with us. Are you saying in this book that each one of us has a sweet spot? What do you mean by that? And what is a sweet spot too?
A sweet spot, anybody who's ever swung a golf club or ping pong paddle or tennis racket or baseball bat, we're acquainted with that term, that it seems like the engineers of these pieces of athletic equipment had a certain acreage in mind, certain, you know, region of square inches where they intended for the ball to make contact with whatever instrument we're holding. And when it makes contact, Jim, you know this, I mean, it's life is wonderful. Yeah. I mean, your boyfriend doesn't have bad breath, get bumped up to first class, no taxes to be paid. I mean, you know, the ball goes further, straighter, faster than you've ever imagined.
Well, I haven't found the sweet spot in golf yet. I've tried many times. It's there,
but I've only found it once out of a million. You know, and it's great. And my contention in this book, Cure for the Common Life, is that God put a sweet spot in each one of us, a unique place, a zone out of which we are intended to live our lives. It's a place where we're operating in our strengths, where we're dealing with the topics that we're supposed to be dealing with, where we're in the environment in which we flourish, which we are most profitable and productive. And identifying our sweet spot leads us to just a joyful life. But not knowing our sweet spot and living outside of that sweet spot makes us one of these statistics. I was astounded in researching this book of how many people hate their jobs, don't like their careers. One statistic said 80% of people commuting back and forth to work don't like what they do every day.
I agree with you. I think that's the way it is. But yet, you know, we live in families where it's this breathless pace in which we're living our lives. We're incredibly busy. We've got, you know, a mortgage, and we've got kids to feed and kids to clothe. And so sometimes when you're talking about joyful, we're just trying to get through the day so we can get an extra 15 minutes of sleep at night. Right. How in the midst of that do you find your sweet spot?
Right. And it's not as complicated, I think, as people think. First of all, in the book, I urge people to accept the fact that they are unique. This is a biblical concept. It's not psychological corporation stuff. This is really right out of Scripture. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I love the verb, we were knitted together in our mother's womb. You know, I've never been much of a knitter, but my mother was, and I know that when she would knit a sweater, it was a one-of-a-kind creation.
Yeah.
And the book here helps people try, at least I'm trying to convince people, there's no one else like you. You're the only you there is, only you there ever has been, only you there ever will be. And if you can embrace that, then you at least take a first step toward the most exciting discovery of all, and that is finding out your unique makeup, how God made you, and learning to discover what that is.
How does a parent help a child deal with that, especially a child who may be struggling with a poor self-image or doesn't really see the helpful, positive abilities or talents they may have?
What a great question. In fact, that's such a prevalent question that we added a chapter to this book called Decoding Your Kid's Code.
I love that chapter.
Because there is a unique code that each one of us have. And I think, first of all, we give our children permission to be who God made them to be. We accept the truth that really they are God's children first, our children second. I am not the product of my parents. They were the conduit. I'm really the product of God. And so I allow them to be who they are and indulge that in them. My dad, for example, if I can get personal, was phenomenal at this. My dad was an amazing mechanic, Jim, an amazing mechanic. He worked for Exxon Oil Company. That's the reason I have a Texas accent, because Exxon loved him. He could fix anything that was broken in the oil field. They called him and sent him out all the time to fix things. So he'd work 8-10 hours a day fixing machines in the oil field. He'd come home, take a bath, go start working on the car.
Amazing.
Then have to take another bath. He loved it, and he tried to convince me to have the same love, but it didn't connect.
Yeah.
It didn't connect. I fell asleep beneath the car many times. And I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, he came to me and gave me as a gift a library card. And that was his way of giving me permission to be the... He had observed me.
Yeah.
He said, Max's eyes light up when he's reading, when he's working with words. His eyes go to sleep when he's working with machines.
Yeah.
So he gave me permission to be the person God gave me.
And that's a great thing by your dad, because a lot of parents don't let their kids be really what they were made to be. You've got a comment in your book. You say your ability unveils your destiny.
Exactly. And the thesis of this book is you know who you are by looking at what you have loved to do. We have a chapter in here called Reading Your Life Backwards. And the challenge is simply this. Look back over your life. Look at those moments in which you have done something well and loved to do it. Stand at the intersection of satisfaction and success, your high points, and make a list of those. Write short essays about those. Go back and reread them over and over and evaluate those moments in which you have really enjoyed life. That's your sweet spot. That's your sweet spot.
And you cite a great illustration about George Washington Carver, where you talk about finding your peanut. Talk about that.
Well, George Washington Carver, you know, did so much for American agriculture. Yeah. He really brought the South out of the tragedy of when the boll weevil was taking over the cotton crop. And he urged people to plant peanuts because he knew what peanuts could do to revitalize the soil. But people didn't want to plant peanuts because there was no market. And so he then set about the task of discovering a market for peanuts. And there's this great dialogue, and I don't know if I can quote it by memory, but he tells a story of walking out into the field and talking to God and saying, "Oh God, why did you make humanity?" God said, "That question's too big. Go back and come back with another." And then he came back and said, "Oh God, why did you make me?" God said, "That question's still too big." And finally he came back with the question, "Oh God, why did you make the peanut?" And the two of them set about to discover the purpose of the peanut, and I think the result was 300-something products of peanuts. And I believe that every one of us has a peanut.
Yeah.
You do, Jim. I do, Jim. My daughters do. Your wife does. Every one of us has an intended purpose on earth. And if I can trust you to pursue yours, you can free me to pursue mine. Jealousy's gone, competition diminishes, production increases, and we're delivered from the common life.
That is an incredible statement, and we're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Max Licato. It is possible to find the sweet spot. I'm convinced of it.
And that's something that we here at Homeward are really big on, especially if you've got teens or preteens in your home. And we'll continue this conversation with Jim and Max in just a moment. Just want to make a reminder here that Congratulations 2012 is now available. This is the number one grad gift of the decade. And this year, you are going to love the lineup of hard-hitting, powerful music and advice for your grads. It includes music from Switchfoot, Toby Mac, Lecrae, and more. And also a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Addicted to God, in there too. If you'd like more information on how to order Congratulations 2012 for that high school or college graduate in your world, visit us online at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Mom, can you sign my report card?
Sure.
I made the honor roll.
Oh, so you did.
This is the best report card I've ever gotten.
Well, it's going to have to get a lot better if you want to go to the right college. The competition is fierce, and I'm afraid you're just not measuring up.
Ouch. You want your kids to succeed in life. Do everything you can to encourage your kids to meet God's standard first, not the world's. Now, God does value academic achievement. I mean, I believe he does. But not any more than he values character and responsibility or a grateful, gracious spirit in a child. It's natural for a kid to have a shaky self-image, and he or she will play the comparison game with the culture, and they'll lose every time. Our society isn't necessarily kind to this generation of young people, and if we aren't careful, parents will wind up reinforcing the same unrealistic expectations for brains and beauties that the world has. Well, I'm Jim Burns, with something to think about from Homeward.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today I am smiling. I love the fact that Max Licato sits across from me, one of America's pastors, major pastors, one of America's great writers, someone who's inspired me so often, and then just to hear this soothing voice from Texas talk about the cure for the common life, I believe. Max is the pulpit minister at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas. If you ever get to San Antonio, Texas, go to this church. It's a great church. And what we're talking about today is that God made each of us unique so that we can live uniquely for him. Max, you have a story about a boy named Billy Frank in your book, Cure for the Common Life, and I thought it was pretty inspiring to hear about. It's very similar to actually what your dad did for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Frank grew up on a farm in North Carolina, the son of a dairy farmer. He was awakened every morning with his brother to milk the cows and work the farm, and while his brother really loved and relished in the opportunity of working on the farm, Billy Frank had this practice of disappearing into the barn and pulling down books and reading great novels. And he had a special interest in stories of missionaries from faraway lands. He was fascinated by faraway lands. And he was a young guy of high energy. He was not quite like his father. He didn't have interest in pursuing the dairy farm. And so his parents saw this, and they gave him permission to go away. He actually went to Florida Bible College, and while there, he cherished every opportunity that he had to sit down with people from other countries and talk to them, loved to meet preachers. He said he would polish their shoes or carry their golf bags, do whatever he could to be with the preacher. Still a bundle of high energy, his mother described him as one who never sat down. And the doctor told her, and this was years ago, the doctor told her not to worry. That's just the way God made him. And so the question I raise in the book is, what do you do with a guy who's grows up on a dairy farm, but he loves international thoughts, loves to read about missionaries, and he loves Jesus? Well, what his parents did is set him free to be who he wanted to be. And Billy Frank became Billy Frank Graham, took that middle name out so people take him more seriously. And the world has known the impact of those parents who are wise enough to let their child be who God made that child to be.
And you know, it's not always easy, Max.
You know, we got to go toe-to-toe with the misconception in our society. If I were to ask people in an audience of 500 people, how many of you have heard this phrase, you can be anything you want to be? Every hand would go up. And how many of you believe it? probably just about every hand would go up. In the book, I kind of take issue with that. I always believed it until a few years ago and began thinking, you know, can we really be anything we want to be? Right. If I don't have love for the land, can I be a farmer?
Right.
If I don't have numbers sense, can I be a good accountant?
Right.
If I don't love children, can I be a good teacher? Right. I think I can be a statistic. I can be one of the four out of the five who hates their work. So I've kind of recast that phrase, and I'd like to say, you can't be anything you want to be, but you can be everything God made you to be. Yeah. And the joy in life, the sweet spot of life, is finding out exactly who God made me to be and staying there.
Yeah, you know, that's a great comment. I think as a young kid, I wanted to be a professional baseball player, and I wanted to be a fireman, and I wanted to be an attorney, and I wanted to be all these kind of things. And then God's call for me was to be involved in ministry.
Exactly.
And then as a minister, I tried to write like Max Licato, and I tried to speak like Billy Graham. And believe me, I've imitated both. But then I finally had to come to grips that, know what, I am made unique, and I have unique excitement and thoughts, and I had to be me.
And your contribution is absolutely unique. And I would imagine, Jim, that if you look back over your life, like I urge people to do in this book, look for those moments in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, which you were just, I mean, it's like life, time stood still. No one was measuring time. You never had so much fun in your life.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, what was I doing then? I like to look at it like this. What are the nouns? In other words, what topics? Was I working with animals, people, numbers, colors? What verbs was I using? Was I fixing, organizing, creating, speaking? And what was the environment? Was I by myself? Was I leading a group? And you know what? You can do this, and we've done it dozens of times. In fact, PMI, People Management Incorporated, I teamed up with them. They've done it 70,000 times with people, and they created an assessment tool to go in the back of the book. And they have proven over and over and over that we inevitably revert back to this sweet spot.
So what you're talking about in your book, you talk about reading our lives backwards.
Yeah.
You know, really, that really helps us find purpose for life today.
Right.
So what you're suggesting then is that everybody, even as an adult, we should look back to what we enjoyed back then, and then begin to just say, you know what, I can't live my life, for me, I can't live my life on the baseball field. I don't think the Dodgers are ready to, you know, bring me on at my age.
Yeah.
I wouldn't if I was them. But look at, you know, I there were certain things that I loved about that, and then as I begin to find my sweet spot, it's great.
Exactly. And, you know, the second question, very important, did you do it well?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things I love to do that I don't do well. I love to sing, but outside of my shower, no one ever asked me to sing. You know, so I have to be honest with myself.
Right.
But there are certain things as I look back. For example, I was in a real doldrum time about 8 years ago as a minister. I was really tired, really, the phrase is burn out. And I was, and a man came and introduced me to this line of thought. And he asked me to evaluate the way I had was using my time and then compare that to my strength. And he pointed out to me that I was serving on three or four boards.
Interesting.
And he asked me this question. He said, as you look back over the high points in your life, were you on boards? Were you in decision-making teams? Were you organizing things? I said, no, never. People never asked me to do that. I said, I just assumed that as a pastor, I'm supposed to sit on boards. He said, no, you're making the wrong assumption. So he got me back on track. My sweet spot is message. I love working with messages and stories. And and I'm content now to never sit on a board for the rest of my life.
Right.
Those are discoveries, I think, that can really help us to have a productive life.
Absolutely. Now, we don't have much time left, and I want to talk next time about story. You have a wonderful acrostic on story, but I want you to kind of introduce it to us in terms of what story stands for, and then I'm going to unpack it next time we talk, which will be on the next program.
Okay. The basis for this is, I like to use the analogy of packing a bag when you go on a trip, that when you go on a trip, you put things in there that you know you're going to need. And when you get to the airport, you don't just grab the first bag that comes out of the carousel. Yeah. You wait on yours because you know it has what you need.
Right.
Well, when you were born pre-packed. God put certain things. He looked down the line and he said, okay, Jim is going to be doing a lot of speaking. I'm going to give him a skill with words. He's going to be working with people. I'm going to give him a skill with leadership or management. I believe God did that with every single one of us. And as we look inside ourselves, as we unpack our bags, we find a story, an S-T-O-R-Y. S stands for strengths. These are those knacks, those abilities, those capacities that we have to do things. And here's a clue. What's something you do that's pretty easy that other people find pretty difficult? And at times you say, it's not that hard. What's that one thing you've always done and you look around and say, why is this so hard? I have a daughter who's really a good singer. I'm not bragging on her. I mean, she's really a good singer. Yeah. And she told me once, Dale, why is singing so hard for people? Yeah. I said, well, honey, it's a gift that you have. Right. That's a strength, right. The T is topic. These are the nouns. Do you love working with animals, statistics, people? Do you love fruit? What's that topic that has always fascinated you in your life? And then number three, the O is optimal condition. These are the factors that trigger your motivation. Some people respond to a need. Other people are motivated by problems. Some people like to maintain the status quo. Mm-hmm. We have a minister on our staff who is driven by 911 situations. Mm-hmm. He comes to life when somebody needs immediate counsel, but he dulls, he's bored when it comes to managing day-to-day affairs. So what's your optimal condition? And then R, what about relationships? When you're really excited, what are those conditions in which you're relating to people? We helped one person, for example, who was miserable in his job as a pharmaceutical rep. We asked him to describe his working condition. He said, well, I'm by myself all day long. And as we went back and read his life backwards, his happiest moments were always on committees, on teams, in which he was surrounded by people. And so now he serves as a manager in the pharmaceutical rep business, in which he's in a car with somebody all day long. He loves it. And then lastly, what's the yes, the Y-E-S? What really makes you pump your fist in the air and take your shoe off and pound it on the table? Yeah. What gets you excited? For my daughter, it's orphans. She's always had a heart for orphans. I don't know why. God just put it on her heart, and it gets her excited. She gets teared up. She gets highly motivated. And now she's going to South Africa. So that's her yes. Now, if every person can figure out their story, that's their sweet spot.
Yeah, and that is a great place to land. You've got to come back next time so we can keep talking about this. But thank you for saying yes a long time ago to your call and your sweet spot, because you really are making a difference. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Max Licato with us. What a privilege.
And as we conclude part one of this two-part conversation, this two-part discussion with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and best-selling author Max Licato here on the Homeward Broadcast. Boy, I'll tell you, Jim, this is something that when you mention the words sweet spot, you think about a guy like Max Licato, because this is a man who has poured his life into ministry and writing. He knows what his sweet spot is. He has three wonderful daughters and his lovely wife, and they're all living in their sweet spots, too. As a matter of fact, we work with his daughter, Andrea, on a couple of different publishing projects, too. One other passion of Max's, though, is golf. And I know as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, Jim, you actually have a golf story to share with us. I'm dying to find out how this all ties together, especially with you and golf.
Well, actually, I don't spend a whole lot of time golfing. I golfed in college, and now I'm an ace miniature golfer.
Right. Okay, good.
But I don't do good with the windmills.
Yeah.
Well, not only is it important for us as parents to live in our own sweet spots, but we also have the job of helping our kids discover and live in theirs. And in order to help our kids do this, we have to observe how they respond in many different types of situations and scenarios. I know that if you're a parent of younger children, you do spend a lot of time with your kids because, well, they really need you at that age. But if your kids are older, say teenagers, then carving out time to be with them is a bit harder. They're busy and you're busy as well. To help solve this problem, let me recommend that you partner up with teachers and coaches and church youth workers and children's workers and other adults who have regular interaction with your kids. Talk to these people and have them give you their observations of your children and the environment in which they interact with them. It's a great thing to do, and actually it's a positive thing to do. Many times I'll talk with someone, with one of my kids, and they'll say, your daughters are so polite, and I don't always see that at home. Okay. This will help you to better help them discover and live in their sweet spot. And of course, there's no substitute for you, so make sure that your world collides with their world as much as possible.
Be intentional. Very, very important words of wisdom from Dr. Jim Burns today here on the Homeward Broadcast as we've been talking about finding the cure for the common life. And let's face it, your kids don't want to live just a common, ordinary life. They want to live a life that's really exceptional. And that's why today on Homeward, we've been having this conversation. We have resources to help you in our Homeward Online Resource Center. One of them is Max Licato's book. We highly recommend his book, A Cure for the Common Life. And also, Dr. Jim Burns has a book, Faith Conversations for Families, that's an important one for parents, because if you want to help your kids find the purpose for which God created them, a good place to start having those conversations is in family devotionals. And if you want to start having faith conversations with your family, you can order a copy of Jim's book with that same title, Faith Conversations for Families. And you can do so when you go online. Use our online resource center at homeward.com when you order the book from us. A portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.